Welcome to Off Air with the Q Crew, our first episode. Hey! My name is Natalia.
I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, man.
My name is Bojo.
That's Bojo. I'm the DJ for this thing.
Yes.
I go by CO1. What's up?
Okay, so we created this podcast for everybody to hear, but we have to stay off the air because there's a lot of issues going on right now, whether it's entertainment, lifestyles, social issues, that we can't always elaborate and give our 2 cents on the air.
Because when we're on the air, it's all about the music. The music is the star.
Absolutely.
And this is our opportunity to talk about the stuff that really matters in our life, in our city, in the culture. Mm-hmm. And this is why we're doing
the real deal, but like bar talk.
Yes.
We have nothing holding us back.
Yes. Right. This is the stuff we talk about off air. Hence the reason we call this Off Air with the Q Crew.
Yes. Grown folks, real talk. Yes. That's what we're doing. Like adulting in Vegas. Okay. So we're going to be talking about a few different issues on this podcast. We're going to be talking about Liam Neeson. I'm sure you guys heard about, you know, his interview, which is causing a lot of people to be like, what the heck? 21 Savage, we're going to talk about him and his situation, the latest with that. Bow Wow got arrested over the weekend. We'll discuss that. A Motown tribute for the Grammys. Did you hear they want J-Lo to do it?
J-Lo.
That's crazy.
We'll talk about that. And Bojo, we're going to ball with you a little bit. You're going to talk sports?
I guess I'm the resident sports dude.
Yes, you are. Hey,
can I just say really quick, for those who don't know, now they'll know.
Yeah.
Bojo came to UNLV on a soccer scholarship, and he was like a dope goalie? Yeah. Were you the goalie?
Yeah, yeah. We're getting into it. That's the reason that I came to Vegas originally.
Yeah.
Came here back in the day. Golly, it's been 20 years, y'all.
Damn.
On a soccer scholarship to play, you know, goalkeeper, UNLV, played 4 years. Mm-hmm. I always felt I'd go back to Cali. But then I'm like, dog, rent's like $300 out here. Cali is like $1,100. And I'm like, I'm 21. I'm not trying to live that life. I'm staying in Vegas and met the wife and got the jobs.
And there you are. There you is.
Made a career.
But you this say got home. The jobs. What do you host? Because you host a lot of like sports events in our city.
Well, yes. I've been in the city 20 years now. So, you know, and being a UNLV alumni, I've you know, been able to be lucky enough to host UNLV, be the MC for UNLV men's and women's basketball, UNLV football. Mm-hmm. This spring I'm getting into UNLV baseball and softball. Should be fun. And the very first MC host in stadium announcer, Las Vegas Lights FC. The very first professional soccer team in Vegas. NBA Summer League, this is enough.
Yeah.
Keep on talking about myself.
Let's keep this show moving.
Okay. We're going to talk about all of that.
Lord have mercy.
And DJ CO1, we're going to be talking some hip-hop history. You're going to school us on what happened this week, 5, 10, 20 years
ago? Yeah, you know what? Just some of those cool little facts that people kind of forget. And, you know, you forget about the background, why some of the artists are so big nowadays or how much they've influenced what is happening with today's culture, how music got started.
And can I just say this? This dude, DJ CO1, is a hip-hop historian.
Yeah.
All the way from, you know, the early B-boy stuff all the way to the new Jack Swing era.
Yeah,
there's no one who knows more. Even the freestyle era. People don't know enough about the freestyle.
Well, that's my Mexican side, though. That's right. That's my Southern Cali Mexican side that brings out the freestyle.
We're going to call you Professor Hector, okay?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Professor Hector with the hip-hop history. So we'll be getting into that, too. And we're also going to talk lifestyle. We're all parents. We all have significant others. We all live here in the city. And we're going to talk about that family life stuff and give you a little glimpse into our lives. And we're going to lift up that curtain a little bit.
And shout out to Natalia. She's the resident mom in the building right now.
And running the ship.
Running the ship, man.
I run a tight
ship,
too.
She actually has the most experience in the room when it comes to radio and hosting. So props to Natalia coming from New York, Miami, killing the game. I just have to,
thank you, Bojo.
You know what I mean? Let's get this thing going.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, first up, let's talk Liam Neeson. So he made headlines this week because he did an interview where he was talking about an instance 20 years ago where he was feeling racist and he wanted to attack a black person because he had a member of, like, one of his close friends.
Did he say he was feeling racist?
I'm going to let you hear the clip. He said that one of his friends was raped, and she was raped by a black man. So he wanted to commit a crime against the black man, and he told this in an interview, and it's got everybody kind of shaking their head. Then he went on GMA with Robin Roberts, and, you know, she don't play that.
Yeah.
She's like, what's good? What were you thinking? And here's what he had to say.
She said he was a black man. I thought, okay. And after that, there were some nights I went out deliberately into black areas in the city, looking to be set upon so that I could unleash physical violence. And I did it for, I'd say, maybe 4 or 5 times. until I caught myself on. And it really shocked me, this primal urge I had.
Here's what kills me. He's trying to get, well, I shouldn't say he's trying to get, but it seems like the internet is like, yay, thanks for being so honest. And it's like, you don't get points for not hurting people and not being a racist.
Yeah,
like,
you know what? 20 years later, it doesn't matter. It's the same story over and over. And if you're wrong, you're wrong.
Doesn't matter. His friends who got raped, the color of the person who raped them. Right. Yeah. I want to know if, first off, it doesn't matter what color, obviously. That's right. The person got raped. It's wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But would he have that same energy if it was a white person who raped his friend?
And that's,
did they ask him that?
Well, I'm not sure if they asked him that specifically, but that's why he was being honest, because he feels like he's being honest and he's keeping it real with people, letting him know, like, hey, I've had racist thoughts. But he did say the reason he's saying this is because he was, like, disgusted at himself for having these thoughts. Here's the thing that kills me. I hate when dads say, I babysit my kids. I pay child support. And it's like, that's what you're supposed to do. So him saying, well, I didn't commit a racist crime. You're not supposed to, dude.
Well, being honest doesn't make you right.
Right. And I just don't think we should be giving him props for not being a racist or for being honest about his racism. I don't get it.
No, that's crazy. I don't know.
It's almost like he doesn't get a pass for that. That kind of racism. Like, he should have kept that for, like, his therapist.
Yes.
That don't make any sense to me. Like, yeah, I think that's crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, the internet has definitely been divided on that. And, you know, do you think he's a racist based off of that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I would agree.
If it was me, I'm not concerned if they're white or black. Okay, I would understand maybe if it was, like, a hate crime.
Right.
Then I'm like, if it's, like, someone I'm close to, then I'm like, okay, you know, I'm going to F up that person.
Right.
Because they're on the racial energy. I'm going to give it all right back.
Yeah.
His friend got raped by a human being.
Right.
Doesn't matter what color they were.
Right.
What he should be concerned about is finding who did it.
Right.
Not the color of the person just
and
messing
like,
up.
Who did it. Exactly.
Like, that's the weirdest thing to me.
But here's the crazy part. So he has a new movie coming out, right? They canceled the red carpet. He's canceling all his appearances. He was supposed to be on with Stephen Colbert. He canceled that too. So he's taking a lot of heat from admitting, I guess, his deep, dark thoughts. To the point, did you guys see the Wale and Terry Crews beef on Twitter?
Yeah.
Okay, so Terry Crews chimes in on Twitter and basically says, you know, he's just being honest. He hit a fork in the road and talked about where he was coming from. Wale was like, hold up, you can't be saying that. Like, because Wale, I think, thought Terry Crews was sticking up for Liam. And they kind of were going back and forth. And Terry Crews says, well, what are we going to do about it, Wale? And Wale says, well, I know what we're not going to do, Terry.
I think Bo just said it best. You keep that stuff off the internet, off of people's faces, and just save it for...
Save it for
your therapist or whomever.
Yeah, because that putting those type of vibes out there is no bueno.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting that he's being honest, though, because how often do you hear somebody be honest about their racist tendencies?
But
like,
I don't,
you know,
someone like me, I still don't think honesty makes things better.
No, I mean,
I understand. Okay. Oh, he's honest, but you're still racist.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, here's the deal. Like, okay, there's one thing to be honest about you, you know, I don't know, maybe being disloyal about something. Okay, I'm honest. Oh, yeah, I cheated on this. I did, you know. But I don't, on my regular life basis, and people I want to be around aren't racist.
Right.
They don't have those thoughts.
Right.
That's sick
for
him to be racist like that.
Right.
Let that go down. Let him say some homophobic stuff like that.
Oh.
It's a wrap.
It is not happening. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, you know. It doesn't make you shouldn't have those thoughts. And just because you're honest about it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, you're
sick a little bit.
Yeah. No, 100%.
I don't know if I explained that correctly.
Yeah.
I think he's looking for like atonement by being honest, kind of like a confession. But like, imagine if Jussie Smollett was like, well, you know, these white men attacked me. I'm out looking for revenge on a white person. It would not be okay.
No.
Well, you want to get it off your chest? Then go to confession formally.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's got a higher being, and I don't know who or what he believes in, but that's how you get that off your chest.
Yeah, yeah. In other entertainment news, let's talk about 21. So we all know 21 man. Savage.
Damn.
He's still in ICE custody. He was arrested. Supposedly he overstayed his visa. But there's a lot of conflicting stories out there. So one part of it is that he applied for a U visa a few years ago and that he was honest. Another story is that he got pulled over and had a loaded gun in the car. That actually
just came out. Today. Yeah.
Then another story is that ICE was targeting him because he performed an unreleased verse on his newest song on Jimmy Fallon, and it offended ICE. Have you guys heard it?
No, I want to hear this.
Okay. Yeah, but since when do they get so sensitive?
That's what I'm wondering. Like,
let's play.
Does he talk about ice?
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Lights was out, the gas was out, so we had to boil up the water. Been through some things, but I couldn't imagine my kids stuck at the border. Flint still need water. People was innocent, couldn't get lawyers. How much money you got?
So he says he couldn't imagine his kids stuck at the border, and people are saying that because he said that, ice is like...
so sensitive.
But, I mean, are we surprised?
I don't know which part of the border he's talking about, but obviously there's so many issues with the southern part of the border.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
but
sure that's
come on. But the fact that this has become so big to where Jay-Z is now has assigned a legal team to help him out, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but I will say, like, I'm guilty. During the Super Bowl, when all of this news broke, I was dying laughing at all the memes. Like, I thought it was so funny that he was British, that he's from the UK.
Yeah.
And then, like, when the reality of it set in, we're like, hold up, it's not funny.
But wait, was he actually stating that he was a U.S. citizen, or was
he just never stated it and it just came out? He never stated that.
Okay.
He was applying for the visa, and he feels like he was...
So he was never, like, truly, like, lying or hiding it. He just happened to be in the situation where the visa wasn't...
So you're like, wait a minute, you're British? Hold up, like...
ATL, that's right.
That's why I think people were surprised, because you see the meme with, like, the British soldiers, and they're like, this is what he meant when he said he's got guys in red.
He was in Atlanta when they picked him up?
Yeah.
Damn, a lot went down in Atlanta, because that's where Bow Wow got to.
Yeah, well, speaking of Bow Wow, sounds like the police was after everybody
Was working Super Bowl weekend.
So Bow Wow was arrested over the weekend. Domestic violence incident. Him and his girlfriend both arrested. You saw the mugshot?
I'll be honest, when I saw the mugshot, I wanted to clown, like, oh, there's Bow Wow getting beat down again.
I did laugh when I saw the news.
But I was close.
He's on the news for something like that again.
Yeah.
On social media, but then I'm like, let me think about what I'm getting into. And then, obviously, two sides have a story, and it got deeper and deeper. I'm like, this is a domestic dispute. I'm staying out of. You know, especially, because obviously he got beat down.
Oh, yeah. No, he's got all the scratches on
his face. He got beat down.
Like, I saw it, and I was like, she beat his ass.
Yes, yes.
You know somebody said she went Wolverine on him.
Damn.
Wow. I know. I'm not trying to make a joke out of it, but that's what it was said.
That's funny. So I was going to clown, but then I'm like, But then everybody's like, yo, but what if he, you know, she don't got any marks on her face, because he didn't hit back. Well, that's, allegedly.
Right.
You know, what if he would have hit back? Then what are you ladies going to say?
Right, it wouldn't be funny. And if it was the other way around, there's definitely a double standard. Like, if the girlfriend would have been scratched, we wouldn't be laughing and saying she got Wolverine. We'd be like, wow, he's a monster.
No.
But, yeah, I mean, the story's a mess, because now the 911 call came out. Because what we're hearing first, it looked like he got beat up.
Right.
You know what I mean? He got arrested, but it's like, yo, he got a crazy chick.
Obviously,
look at his face. And then his lawyers were saying that, you know, she was the aggressor. But now we're hearing the 911 call. If you want to play it.
Let's take a listen to it.
Hello, 911. What's the address of your emergency?
Hi, I've been physically assaulted by my boyfriend. And I would like to make a report. He was hitting me in places. And he said, no one's going to believe.
What does that mean, though? No one believes?
That he was hitting. He was hitting her in places that nobody would believe.
Her chest or something.
Yeah,
I mean,
maybe like places that are covered.
See, the only thing for me that's kind of weird about these situations, domestic violence is obviously such a big deal.
Yeah,
but
it's not funny.
But nowadays, because it's so much more upfront with people and out in the news, you don't know when people are actually making up a story at this point. And I want to believe her and I want to believe him. I really do. Mm-hmm. But you don't know, you know.
No, what you're saying is correct. And it's just like as members of the media, we got to be careful of whose side we jump on. We can't.
First off, it's not
our business.
No.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, we can't defend either one.
No.
All I know is I was taught to never hit a woman.
Exactly.
You know, luckily I've never been in a position to where I've had any crazy women in my life where I've even had come close or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I don't even know that. That situation.
You ain't never been with a Latina, huh?
No, not as much as I would like.
I live with one, but it's never reached the point to, you know, do that.
We like to throw chancletas.
And that's the first part about it. You know, you never let it get to the point where you think it's going to become physical or become something aggressive.
All jokes aside. It's sad.
It's a mess. It's super messy.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it seemed like a funny meme at first, but you're like, dog, okay, I don't know what's going
to
happen.
Well, and that's because we're used to seeing Bow Wow, too, in, like, situations where he's always...
We clown Bow Wow.
Yeah. You know? Right, yeah.
I was going
to
say...
I was trying to say that, but that's it.
His career is over, but...
What about the Bow Wow challenge when you, like, pose with stuff?
That's what I'm saying.
Wow. Yeah.
People have been clowning Bow Wow for a minute.
But yeah. Here's the thing. They both got arrested. So at least I would say... They both got arrested, and the courts will determine who did, which is good.
Because that means they're being fair and listening to
both
sides.
Exactly. So if they both did it, you know, it's a complicated situation. Domestic violence, it's never funny, you know.
Yeah,
but
that's the moral of the story.
Yeah.
Domestic violence is a serious issue, and if we can leave that, like, fellas, just do your best. Don't put your hands
walk
on
away.
A woman.
Bro. Yo, when in
ladies
doubt, walk
too.
Away.
Yeah.
You know, in Vegas, a lot of things are...
Yeah, ladies too. How do you tell them? Because that's never been a rule in a woman's house or growing up. Don't put your hands on a man. No, that's not.
I feel like when we grew up, women would slap men in movies. Women would punch men in the face.
That is
true. And the man always knew to walk away and not hit back.
Yeah.
Now, women shouldn't touch men and men shouldn't touch women. But I feel like it was accepted at one point in our society for women to beat on men, even though it's not okay.
100%.
Culturally now, we're like, hold up. Nobody can hit anybody. Like, no.
But
way,
I don't think it was
cool.
To beat up. I mean, I think it was like a defensive thing where the woman would slap across
the
face.
Yeah, but like, you know,
men
like,
could.
Yeah.
Men were always more aggressive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
but that's just because of the obvious aspect that men are usually built bigger. Yeah, et cetera.
You
but
know.
It just shouldn't happen, though.
No, absolutely
Let's
not.
Let's keep it pushing. Let's keep it pushing.
Another thing that shouldn't happen. J-Lo performing a Motown tribute.
Whoa, whoa. Did you hear what Natalia said?
That's my girl.
No,
Natalia
but, yo, Bojo, I'm going to agree with that because...
I 100% agree, but Natalia said
I know.
Listen, I'm Boricua, that's my girl. However, I think that a Motown tribute should be done by an artist that can really pay homage to Motown. Because
100%.
J-Lo, she's a great performer, but she's not necessarily the best singer.
So let me ask you this. Do you think they were... Whosever idea it was, do you think they were trying to sell her voice, her vocals, or just sell her as a good-looking
piece?
Her
ass?
Well, that's it.
The play on words. I love it.
No, I think that J-Lo is a performer.
Okay.
I think she always has a great show. I think she has great stage presence. She's always got dancers.
But Motown
costumes.
Is special.
Right, and J-Lo can't have all the tributes, because remember, she did a Celia Cruz tribute
I know.
Last year.
But
the Grammys?
I don't remember if it was the Grammys or another award show, but...
Okay, but for me, I think Motown is extra special.
Yes.
Because Motown was, you know, like, you see it in, like, even movies like Back to the Future, where a lot of those scenes, like, the prom is, like, a lot of that Motown sound, and it's
right.
The
bro,
groups of five,
bro.
And it's the harmonizing.
Is happening on February 10th.
Right.
Black
wow,
History Month,
yeah.
Man.
I was just gonna say.
I'm not trying to get racial, but duh.
Yeah, I was just gonna say the thing with J-Lo. It's not that I think she shouldn't do it because she's Latina. Because I would be okay with Alicia Keys doing a Motown tribute.
Absolutely.
I think it's because of the genre of music that J-Lo makes. It's not Motown. It's not soulful like that.
I don't
so
see
I think
her.
Okay. Soulful
I don't see
artists.
Her singing.
No, yeah.
You know, like
sugar by honey bush. I don't wanna hurt you. Can't help myself.
And this is why he's
on
the
J-Lo.
Radio.
I think we all agree with Natalia. Like 100%. That's why we brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be J-Lo. But now here's the question. I want to know what you guys think.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to pick one person, who would that person be, in your opinion, to do the Motown tribute right now, 2019?
I think. It should be somebody with a really powerful, soulful voice,
okay.
Like Jennifer Hudson.
Ooh.
Fantasia.
That's a good one.
Ooh.
Oh, yes.
Kay Michelle, Keisha Cole.
A lot of those are soulful
okay.
artists,
hold on,
though.
Hold on, Natalia. You I'm went sorry, all. No, you're good. You went all female.
Well.
You went all
yeah, who's
female.
Who's going to do that? Who's
Usher?
Gonna do,
that's my pick. And he's got Grammys.
All right, so check it out. The first thing that comes to my head when I think Motown is Smokey Robinson. And who can hit that? That baby, that ooh.
Yeah.
Like, who
ooh, the
is
weekend.
The artist?
Yes,
The Weeknd.
Maybe.
The Weeknd could do it.
No, hell no.
No, he's got that high-pitched voice like Michael.
Can you prop up that one song? That was talking about Usher, Climax.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No, okay, you're right. It might be Usher.
Reach the climax. Oh, it's Usher. It should definitely be a collaborative effort.
It has to be.
Why Why the hell would one person do it?
Well, that's what I was thinking. It should be a medley. Like
J-Lo, you out.
Yeah, J-Lo's out.
J-Lo?
No, we need like Chaka Khan. We need Diana Ross. We need Jennifer Hudson.
Tina Marie, Rick James.
Keisha Cole, yeah.
This is all Motown.
You hate dudes.
I don't.
My God. Temptations.
Sorry.
Marvin Gaye. Smokey Robinson.
They're all great.
But you like keep one dude represent.
They are old.
Wow,
that's Motown. You said
if they consider
Keisha McCall.
Keisha McCall.
If they consider J Lo,
man, you got a dude. Hey,
what
dude?
What if they said J Lo and Bruno Mars?
Okay, you did.
Bruno Mars would be good. And see, Bruno Mars is soulful.
Oh, I wouldn't hate on Bruno Mars.
Bruno,
right?
Usher.
And he can hit them notes.
I wouldn't hate on Bruno. You know who else I wouldn't mind? Hmm. Who could kind of be like. Impersonator-ish.
Uh-oh.
Jamie Foxx.
Oh,
yeah. He
Jamie
sing.
Foxx is the best. And you know his voice is crazy.
Yeah.
Yo, no. You know what?
The producers
That's got my vote.
Yeah.
Jamie Foxx would be the one.
Well, we all agree the producers for the Grammy blew it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
Ariana Grande canceled because the producers wouldn't let her perform Seven Rings, which is her hit single right now. And it's like, how are they going to tell the
artists what
songs
they can do? I want to know the age of the producers.
Oh, that's a good
They're probably old as hell.
I just heard a story today that the producers did not want Kendrick, Drake, and Childish Gambino either.
Huh.
Like, what's going on? It's on our
Facebook
page.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. All right. Yeah,
who would be the worst person besides J-Lo?
Let's say.
The worst.
For Motown?
You know who would be good?
Tekashi?
Wait. J-Lo's nemesis, Mariah Carey. That would have been a good one.
Oh, that would be good. I thought she would hit the notes. God damn.
Sorry. I don't hate men. I love men. Speaking of men, Bojo, let's start balling with Bojo.
Oh,
talk to us
ballin'?
About local sports. Yes.
Well, first we're going to kick off, man. If you guys don't know, we do have a professional soccer team in Vegas. I know you guys are aware of this. Mm-hmm. Las Vegas Lights FC. I'm very proud to be their in-stadium announcer. And
tell
man,
us about this big win, though.
Bro. Okay, so second season debut, preseason game number one. Brand new coach, Eric Winalda. If you guys don't know, also, you guys know.
School
but,
us, because I don't know.
Man, me and Eric go way back. First off, Eric Winalda is
same camp.
United States a soccer legend.
Okay.
You know, at one point in time, he was the leading goal scorer in U.S. soccer history, player of the year for multiple years. He went to the same high school as me, y'all. It's crazy. So me growing up, we'd always look up to him. And there was another brother named Kobe Jones who played on the American U.S. national soccer team. It was crazy. But now, you know, he became a commentator.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of like the Charles Barkley of, you know, commentating you know, for U.S. soccer. No, I wouldn't say obnoxious.
Like
but
the OG?
Like straight up, straight forward.
Up.
Okay,
yes.
Got it.
Like, so his comments were
he kept it real.
Like this is exactly.
Real,
okay,
you know what I mean?
Okay.
And he's had coaching gigs, but not on this level. So this is like his first professional coaching gig.
Yeah.
And his coaching mentality just fits perfect with the Lights. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Lights owner, Brett Lashbrook. He has a freaking amazing mind. He recognizes the city we're in, and he's like, yo, not only we're going to give you the best, you know, talent on the field, but we're going to give you entertainment. He knows this is Vegas. We're going to give it to you. So he believes we got the best coach to give us that. Mm-hmm. And the coach has the players on the same page. Like, listen, we're going to entertain these fans who come to the Cashman Field. So much so, every time you score a goal, we want you to celebrate. If your celebration is dope, we're giving you a bonus.
Wow.
Like, that's unheard of.
So you can, like, showboat when they get a goal?
Yes.
Okay.
That's, like, unheard of in sports. And so that's, you know how the Lights are taking things. Mm-hmm. And so they played a game, first preseason game on Saturday. They whooped down Toronto FC 5-1.
Wow.
Like, crazy.
Yeah.
It was an afternoon game. I was there, obviously, and I was just like, this is going to be a special season.
Well, here's the thing, right? Because I went to my first soccer game with you when you invited us out to see the Lights. And we had such a great time. We went to the tailgate party, mm-hmm. and there were like all these really cool things for kids to do.
It was and it all goes down at Cashman.
And it was like free popsicles, which was nice because it was like hot as hell that night. You know, they just had so much cool stuff to do because I brought my daughter out there that night, my little one. And when we went to watch the game, there was a section, they all had instruments and smoke and noise. And I thought that they were a part of like the league. It was the fans. It was a fan section.
Well, that's a soccer
with, like,
fan in general.
Smoke. They had their instruments. They made noise. They had like songs and they chants for different. I was like, this is lit. This is popping.
Yeah, there's different supporter groups. Yeah. And they're intense. They have Facebook groups and they get together. They like practice.
They're about that life. I'm telling you, they have cheers.
It's insane.
I asked you after the game. I was like, yo, that little section they have, and you're like, that's fans.
Yeah, they're fans. So, I mean, just I think that the city is excited about, you know, just another pro team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think soccer is the number one team sport for kids.
Really?
So, yeah. So, it's like, didn't you guys play soccer ever?
I did not, but my daughter did. And when she played on a co-ed team. And at the end of the season, they gave the kids awards. She was six. And she got the award for most aggressive player.
Ooh,
and
nice.
And we're like, I don't know if that's a diss or a compliment. Because we'd be at games, and she'd like hiss. She'd hiss in the opposing, like when they would try to take the ball from her, she'd be like, and we're like, Gabby, like,
it wasn't even
chill.
Physical. It was-
no, she wouldn't. And I'd be like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm trying to intimidate them.
That's
I'm
amazing.
Like, no, it's a game. You're in kindergarten. Chill.
That's amazing.
Yeah, my son played soccer two years for I-9 Sports. Shout out to I-9 Sports. And you're right. Definitely team building.
That's, that's where it starts, you know. So that's the thing about soccer, you know. And American soccer, it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into the last, but I want to talk to you guys about this real quick.
Yeah.
American soccer is tough because soccer has to compete with basketball, football, baseball.
Right.
So what happens is, especially with me, someone like myself.
And in this town, hockey now.
Yeah, hockey.
Right.
Yeah. But you have to think about the athlete.
Yeah.
So what happens with these kids, they play multiple sports, like, you know, through elementary school and then to junior high.
Yeah.
And then once you get into high school, you kind of have to, like, round it down.
Right.
And figure out what you want to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so what happens is these kids are like, dude, I see LeBron James on TV. I see Tom Brady.
Right, right, right. The exposure
is
crazy.
You know, I see, you know, what's the old boy from the California Angels?
Oh, yeah, fish name. Trout.
Mike Trout.
Or Bryce Harper, our Bryce Vegas Harper. Local. And that's our guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's because I'm wearing the Angels hat today.
They see Bryce Harper. And they're like, that's the route I'm going.
Right.
They don't see American soccer players on TV.
Yeah.
Everywhere around the world, they see Cristiano Ronaldo. They see Messi.
Right.
Wait, we see David Beckham.
I mean,
no, we don't. That was like in 98.
Well, I do. I still do, okay?
But you know what I'm saying? So what I'm getting at is our best athletes are going the other route. That's why I'm like, professional level, we're not up there with the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So it's tough. Anyways, let me get back on.
But we about to be.
We're hoping to. Let me get back
So Cashman Center, that's where we can catch you.
So Cashman Field, Las Vegas Lights FC, they got another game coming February 16th. I'm telling you, the season is going to be special. And it's going to be entertaining. I told you these guys. The owner wants the fans or the players to wild out, and that's what's going to happen.
So the owner is very, like, revolutionary or very innovative in the way that he's running this team. Because isn't there a rumor about them working with, like, a dispensary in town or something like that?
That's the truth.
Oh, okay. So what is that?
First team ever to have a marijuana dispensary sponsor the team. That's unheard of.
Right. I was going to say, against the rules, though? Because, like, the players can't, like, they get tested and all that stuff. Like, how does that work? Because it's kind of like, right?
It's legal, isn't it?
I mean, it is legal in our state, in Nevada. But I'm saying, like, you know, like, in the NBA, or even in the NFL, like, Ricky Williams is a player that's always, like, cannabis would have helped me with my pain rather than opioids.
Unfortunately,
the
CBD there was no football team in his city. And it wasn't legal back then. It's legal now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But a lot of people are scared to touch it.
That's what I'm saying. It's like controversial, right?
But now it's getting that dual approach now. Now it's like the marijuana dispensaries and then just the CBD part of it.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, so it just depends on, I guess, what your view on it is. But both legal.
But you're right. Yeah. The owner, Brett, he's not scared to touch it.
That's dope, though, that he's willing to, like, go against the grain.
And he's also jumped on board with the betting app.
Trendsetter.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he jumped on board.
Oh, because that's like taboo.
Yeah. So I'm telling you, Las Vegas Lights FC games, February 16th is going to be the next one. Colorado Rapids should be a good look.
Nice. Talk to us about your Lakers. You all right? Don't sweat.
All right, so if you guys are paying attention right now. Mm-hmm.
This is going to be good, by the way, because I'm a huge Clipper fan, so here we go.
You know, it's today. LeBron put it out there. He wanted, you know, Anthony Davis. Do you know Anthony Davis?
CO1 schooled me on this earlier because he showed CO1, me a really me a funny favor. Video.
The brow.
Can you pull up a picture of Anthony Davis? This is in the meantime. But Anthony Davis is probably top 5 player in the league.
Okay.
And it's always been, you know, since Magic Johnson, you know, joined, you know, part of, you know, being a owner and general manager,
mm-hmm.
bringing in the big names. Anthony Davis is one of them. Come play with LeBron. Mm-hmm. There he is.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
They call him the brow.
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything, but yeah.
We'll
they strong. The brows are strong. Yes.
So basically, he's the top 5 player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers are willing to give up almost their whole damn team. Their whole young core.
Yeah.
For this dude. And Pelicans said no.
Yo, can I chime in this really quick?
Because
I was talking to Natalie about this earlier, and I told her how they made it seem like LeBron was willing to give up like 6, like it's basically almost half the team. And then they went to go play in Indiana, and 18,000 people were screaming at one kid when he was in the free throw line going,
LeBron's gonna trade you.
I was like, that is messed up.
LeBron's gonna trade
Talk about
you.
Killing your ego, your
so,
morale.
Okay, there's a couple things that's crazy about this story. Is, first off, people give LeBron so much power, like acting like he is
the GOAT.
Well, no, not that.
No.
He's the one making the decision.
Like he's the president or owner of the team.
Well, he's like the Tom Brady of the Lakers.
But
he's in charge.
Yes, but he's a player. He can't trade anybody.
Yeah.
LeBron doesn't make decisions. He's a player like everybody
else. He might
else.
Have a big influence, though, on the
decision. He obviously has an influence.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. They're acting like he's the one who makes it.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, they're acting like he's the executive in the front office.
Yeah.
But so us Laker fans are like, we got punked. Like we're not gonna be able to get this dude. we're gonna have to wait till the end of the season and put together trade packages and all this stuff. But so it's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
But my question now,
mm-hmm.
you just saw that young man, Anthony Davis.
Would you date a dude with the strong? If you were a single woman with a strong unibrow like that.
Here's the thing. If
would you date him? Who he is as he is. You're single.
I mean, I'm married with children, but like,
but
let's say
you
my
single,
younger self.
If you were single.
I would just take him to the barbershop to get his brows did.
No, it's a, he would rather give you up than give up the eyebrow.
He is not giving up that brow.
I am Puerto Rican. Our men get their brows
Bojo,
in, okay?
Bojo, but that's like, Natalia asking you, would you date a girl who doesn't shave her armpits, underpits?
Okay, maybe if she's making $24 million. If she's making $24 million a year.
I mean, we could look past the eyebrow for $24 million.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
I don't know, man.
You can look past the whole lot.
That's what I'm saying. I was trying to, I brought this up to my wife. She's like, why doesn't he cut that? I'm like, dude, that's his thing.
It's his brand. That's his brand now. Yeah.
You know how like James Harden has the beard?
Yeah.
Odell Beckham has the blonde hair.
Yeah.
This dude got the brow. And it's, as a dude, we're like, whatever. But I know females are like disgusted.
I mean, I'm sure the girls that he's dating don't care because he takes them to really good dinners.
And probably a lot more than that.
It's 50-50 because they're the same. There's the same number that says no. There's the same number that says
here's
yes.
The thing. Guys get their brows done now. Like, that's a
I get mine done.
Yeah, see?
Oh, yeah.
I have to.
That's so Latino of you, CO1.
Because I'm a unibrow guy, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
My son, he's 18. He gets his brows done when he goes to the barbershop because he got a strong unibrow, too.
Wow.
I have a 10-year-old. I'm anticipating for him. Like, you know, at one point, I'm going to have to do the dad-son talks.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, one of those is going to be like, you need to make sure that your hair is done right.
Yeah.
Like, I went through a fad in high school when I played varsity basketball where we all wanted to shave our leg hairs. And wear black socks, and that was like a team thing. And we did it. I know, it's crazy.
But like my son, right? He gets his brows done when he goes to the barbershop, and when he did it a while ago, I was like, yo, they look a little too nice. Like, they nicely shaped. Because it's one thing to take off the unibrow. It's another thing to get them shaped with a nice arch. Yeah, I was like, come on.
Hey, really quick, though. So, I want to know. The issue, though, when we shaved our legs and when we were playing basketball, we would always get clowned. Even though we were a good squad, we would always get clowned, though. People would be like, oh, you're part of the water polo team. I mean, the basketball team.
Damn.
So slick down. Okay, can't relate because I'm not really – I've never had to –
The unibrow?
I'm a very unhairy dude. I can't grow a beard. Right. That's how bad it is.
See, I sneeze and I grow a beard.
You can't even just
right.
You can't just shave it. You got to go to someone.
Oh no, it's got to get plucked.
The barber does it. Yeah,
like it's got. Like, believe it or not, my wife does mine, and it hurts.
Really?
What, does she pluck them?
She plucks and then she does a little thing, and I'm like, and then you know what her answer is all the time? What? Beauty hurts.
Yeah. You know what we say? You know what we say? What Puerto Ricans say? A la moda hasta que te joda.
Means, yeah, exactly.
Which means like, stay in style even if you're screwed.
Now, man, okay, so we all watched what we can all agree upon was the snooze fest. Super Bowl 53.
The worst.
New England Patriots defeated the Los Angeles Rams.
It wasn't a defeat. They 13 won.
13-3. No, they defeated that ass, man. Tom Brady got his sixth ring.
Mm-hmm.
Julian Edelman was the game MVP. A lot of things you can take away from the game, you know, sports-wise. We're not going to talk about that here.
It was boring as hell.
I'm a little bit disappointed because I lost a lot of money. It happens every year.
You bet on the Rams?
Yeah. I just believed in them. I believed in them. Yeah. And when it happens every year, I believe in the wrong goddamn team because my team is never in it.
Ouch.
And, you know, and I'm supporting my boy.
Yeah, because you love the
who's
Rams.
Who's a strong Rams fan.
I've been a Rams fan just really quick. Been a Rams fan since like 82, 84 because I'm from Southern California. They used to play in Anaheim.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So I lived in Santa Ana right next door. And Bojo, I agree with every single word you say, but more. Just see how it impacted you and how you're bummed out about it. Times 10 for me.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. And I threw a Super Bowl party.
Dang.
Can we talk about Super Bowl parties? How boring those must have been for everybody in America.
It just made me drink more.
Saddest Super Bowl party. Yeah. Maybe not in Boston, right?
No,
maybe
Boston, and downtown fun. Las Vegas was lit because we were at the event center and it was popping.
It made me
there.
Finish almost an entire bottle of tequila. Not by myself, of course, but because we were like, well, what else do we do?
Yeah, but let's be honest. If they would have won, you would have finished the bottle of tequila too.
By myself.
You probably finished it anyway, right?
Well, when everybody left the party, I told my wife, I'm like, sorrow. Hey, just go ahead and save me one piece of the. I even ordered a Super Bowl Rams cake.
Dang.
And so I'm like, okay, once everybody leaves, just cut me a piece of cake. Everybody went to their room, and I went into my home office, and I was like, this hurts. So I need to enjoy the cake.
Let me ask you guys this, man. So. Tom Brady got his sixth ring.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We all know Tom Brady. What are you guys' thoughts about a dude like Tom Brady? Are you guys haters on dudes like him?
You can't hate on legends, man. Right. It's like, let's say I didn't appreciate all of Busta Rhymes' music. It doesn't matter. Someone like Busta Rhymes is, and just bring it into perspective of music, but he's a legend.
Right.
I want
a better example than Busta Rhymes.
Okay, well, let's say Nas.
I want someone who's getting.
He's an East Coaster. I'm a West Coast guy, but I still appreciate all of his sound, his lyricism, everything that he says. He is still a GOAT.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, good. I agree. I'm not. I don't want to be a hater. I'm not a hater.
Right.
You gotta acknowledge and appreciate when someone's doing that good.
I guess or dislike is one thing, but you're right. Not a hater is the appropriate thing to say.
Here's the thing. You know I'm from Florida. I'm a Dolph fan for life. I grew up going to see Dan Marino play.
What did you say?
The greatest quarterback of all time, Mr. Dan Marino. Okay. I saw him play when I was a little girl.
So sad.
Anyway.
Zero rings.
Don't bring that up, Bojo. Okay. So we hate the Patriots. My husband is a diehard Jet fan. He's from New York.
Oh.
He hates the Patriots,
damn.
Too. Who did he bet on Super Bowl?
Of course
the Patriots.
No, the Patriots.
Because they were the over. And guess what? We won.
Oh. No, well, we know who's buying dinner tonight.
That's how it works in my house.
No. did he bet the over?
Yes. And we
he
won.
He lost.
No.
The score was 13-3.
Whatever he bet, I know he made some money.
So he bet
I
the under.
He bet the under.
Well, he bet, I guess... I don't really.
The bottom line is he bet to win.
He bet on the Patriots.
He bet on the Patriots. Yeah, he bet on the Patriots,
which is their arch rival for the Jets.
Okay, so someone like your husband, who plays against, who's a Jets fan.
Yeah.
They play against the Patriots twice a year.
Right.
He sees what they do. He hates knows what them. They're about. He hates them, but he has to play against, watch his team play against them twice a year. He recognizes how good they are.
Well,
so that's why he, you know, put his money with them. That makes sense.
You guys know about Tom Brady's diet, right? Like no sugar, no carbs, no gluten. Yeah. Like it's super, super strict. And my son, 18, plays football. And I always tell him, if you want to be the best, you got to be willing to do what the greats do. And Tom Brady, I mean, we could hate on him all day, but at the end of the day, he's focused. He's dedicated.
He's one of those dudes that says, I'm going to wake up at 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know how there's that little, there's like the whole thing about people who wake up at 4 in the morning.
Bro, he's going to bed at 8 p.m.
Right. He's not eating pancakes. Yeah. He's having like a 100%. Smoothie, you know?
Think about it. Your son can get away with eating that because he's what, 17, 18?
Yeah.
Tom Brady's 41 and he won't touch it.
Right, but he didn't touch it when he was 21 either. Like he's always been like that. Well, I guess since he's been with Giselle. Let me
I was going to say, it probably makes it easy when you're you're looking at a fine ass wife.
When he's our age, you know what I'm saying?
I know.
So him pulling that off.
You got to respect him.
Man, you think he listens 100%. To Tupac and Biggie?
What's that?
You think he listens to Tupac and Biggie?
I think he might listen to some Pac.
I will say.
And Nirvana?
He was just interviewed. He was just interviewed, and somebody asked him a question about Trump. Because remember, there was like this whole controversy when he had the MAGA hat in his locker. And he's like, I'm not talking about politics. Next question. Smart. So that's still a sticky situation.
Well, that's kind of like us being in radio, and we just kind of have to.
Yeah.
Being neutral.
I mean, I think the obvious stands out as to what we support, but but we got, you know, we are.
I mean,
we are.
If we're going to keep it on that level, like, do you think Tom Brady would, you think he'd be a cool dude to kick it with? Is there anything
Think he would.
I think he's probably such a dork. Like,
I think there's a lot of nerds.
In sports?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
You got to be a nerd to be that successful. Like, we can laugh about it all day, but, like, I always...
True.
Like, being in radio for a long time, right? I've been in radio 16 years. What I have learned is the people that are the most disciplined, that are the most dorky, are the most successful. So you see people like Kevin Hart or The Rock. They don't drink. Well, Kevin Hart, I think, drinks. But, like, you know, they don't, like, party like a rock star, like how a lot of the rappers do. You know, they're more disciplined. They go to the gym. They do all the stuff.
Perfect example is, for us, put it this way, I think we could all agree that we wish we were just a little bit nerdier.
Yeah.
I wish 100% I was nerdier. Because.
It's easier.
Sorry, I'm a little cool and I was living a cool life. I'm like, this life didn't get me as far as I would like.
Right, the nerds get further because they're 100%. Very dedicated. Absolutely.
And why am I here? I'm a pretty nerdy guy.
That's why you're here.
Okay, sorry.
All right, let's keep it moving.
What else we got? Are we still balling on sports?
If you want.
What else we have?
CO1, you want to talk about some hip-hop history?
Well, you know, this month, obviously it's February, it's Black History Month, and the irony, I don't want to say irony, maybe it was, you know, it was meant to be this way, but... Mm-hmm. So many influential things have happened this month, and we're only, you know, not even halfway through the month. But from birthdays to accomplishments, you know, Big Boy from Outkast, who's been a guest here with us, he celebrated and he performed at the Big Game. Can we say the Super Bowl? Sure.
I think that they got robbed. Super Bowl. He should have did more. I was very upset that he only did a half a song because Outkast and the Atlanta legends.
They themselves are legendary, especially in their own hometown. But. So much has happened, you know, Old Dirty Bastard, rest in peace, but he released Brooklyn Zoo, which is massive.
Wait, when did that happen?
That happened in 1995.
When he put that out, it was like his food stamps card, and everybody thought it was so funny because he put his food stamp card. Like, that was his album cover.
That was crazy.
The Fugees had their first album just as well. I believe that was in 1994.
Yeah, the Get Blunted on Reality.
Yes. And then check this out. This was Sir Mix-a-Lot's third album that was released. And this week also, I believe it was 94 or 95. But it took three albums for him to release Baby Got Back.
Wow.
So he had already put in work and it was kind of on the low. But it was his third album that actually had Baby Got Back.
I feel like he was a very regional dude.
He was very Seattle-ish.
They loved him up there.
I don't know, y'all. I grew up in Miami, and when I was a kid, we used to listen to Posse's on Broadway. I was in Catholic school.
See, and you said Posse's on Broadway, not Baby Got Back. Which
is
crazy,
too. No, we were listening to Mix-a-Lot's whole album back then, before Baby Got Back. I remember being like fifth, sixth grade in Catholic school listening to it in Miami.
Damn.
Yeah.
But yeah, I believe his name trickled down to us.
Yeah.
A little bit before, because we're both West Coast.
Yeah.
Before Baby Got Back, but like, he was definitely a Northwest dude for sure.
Yeah. It was all.
He still is. Well,
yeah, yeah. It's still in Seattle or whatever. Yeah.
For him to put out three albums.
And to finally get that recognition from a song like Baby Got Back. And then even just on the birthday side of it, for people who are so influential in being born on this month, Kid Capri, Cameron, J Dilla, and there's quite a few more. And it's just insane, and I'm glad, because again, you know, we love to celebrate something like Black History Month, and so much of the impact of what we do here in radio, especially with music and that golden era hip hop, had taken place with the month of February.
When was Kid Capri born?
67, I think, February.
This month?
The 7th. Today, or as we record this today.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah.
Kid Capri.
Legend.
Legend in the game, man.
And speaking of Kid Capri, I'm going to go ahead and slide on in to some entertainment stuff here in town. Mm-hmm. I just got the opportunity to finally go check out On the Record over at Park MGM. Mm-hmm.
They've got
a speakeasy in there. They've got different sections to the entire club lounge.
Like a secret room?
Yeah, they got the secret room speakeasy. They got two different sections to the location.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I'm sliding over from Kid Capri is because you know who was there yesterday? Is DJ Scribble throwing down. Remember him from MTV?
I was about to say,
I thought it'd be kind of funny if I brought him up. Scribble is still in the game?
Scribble was there performing. And he was dropping. Yeah. Not only was he dropping like a bunch of classic cuts, but he was all over the place. You know, he was trying to keep it pretty good in the variety of being cross country.
Yeah.
But he did put like Rock the Bells and like that old Run DMC.
It's like TRL, dope. MTV That's days.
Let me ask you, as a DJ, what is the sense with a dude like DJ Scribble? Is he still like
someone like a DJ Scribble is? I have respect for people like him as a DJ because they paved the way for someone like myself.
And they use wax,
But here's the other part.
But I hear about him like MTV Spring Break.
But, even though he had his prime and his heyday, and he's not necessarily like the dopest Serato, and I'm saying this.
Yeah.
He's not necessarily, he may not necessarily be the dopest, you know, because I know there's DJs now who are like 25 years old and are just killing it and they're talented. They may not have the knowledge, but Scribble is keeping it real. And someone like myself, I mean, I see myself still doing what he's doing in 20 years. You know what I'm saying?
The thing is, you got
which is staying true to the art.
Yeah, you got to respect guys like Scribble because back in the day, they used to have to carry crates and line up their records, their vinyl records.
Long story short about carrying crates.
Like, yeah.
Yo, I have a good sized scar on my lower abdomen from hernias from carrying speakers, DJ speakers and records. So I went through the
These
whole
DJs
thing too.
These DJs don't know. They get to walk in the club with their laptop.
Yeah.
And back in the day, we had crates.
I was like, yo, who wants to come to the club? I need a couple people to hold me down.
We used to sneak in the club. I had a friend that worked at
Jive
Records.
That's right, you DJ too, Natalia.
Yeah, when I was 17, I used to DJ. I actually worked on the radio when I was 17 DJing. I had a friend, though. He used to work for Jive Records back in the day. And we used to sneak in all the clubs on South Beach by saying we had to take vinyl records that had like just got pressed.
Yes.
DJs, and that was like our scam in the front. We'd be like, we gotta get this to the DJ, this is a brand new track, they need
that's
this
genius.
And we would like try to slide in, and now you look at it and you're like, that's so ridiculous.
Well, here's the other part to a place like On the Record is that I feel that even the younger generation is considering like the throwback music like a cool fad, a cool thing to listen to. Like if you're listening, if my son's in the living room and I'm in the kitchen, I'll go woo woo. And my son will go, that's the sound of the police. This is my 10-year-old son. My 10-year-old, I put this on everything. And it's such a good feeling to know that he thinks that's such a dope sound and a dope vibe.
Yeah.
And I have a video. I'm going to try to get this video from my Instagram, and I'll post it the next time we do the podcast. But I went to a UNLV game, and we were driving back home, and Heavy D, Now That We Found Love, came on, and he just started doing this fake Cabbage Patch thing.
Oh, wow.
Again, my son is 10 years old.
Yeah. You taught him well.
So it makes me feel good about all this.
Yeah. What did he didn't learn the Cabbage Patch from you.
God, no.
You learned it from somebody in your house.
Oh, that's amazing.
From what we call the YouTube. That, and finally, you know, just from my Mexican taste buds and being the fact that that I get cooked for every single day by a Mexican wife and a Mexican mom.
Mm-hmm.
I need to fill you in on these taco spots around town.
Yes.
All right, so what I want to fill you guys in, every week I'm going to try to go hit up like a different restaurant. Is that mm-hmm. cool?
Yeah.
And, you know, just because, again, I mentioned that I live with a Mexican mom and a Mexican wife, so Mexican food is the obvious, but there's a few taco spots in town that I really love. Mm-hmm. There's a couple sushi joints, Korean barbecue, cevicheria, Bojo, a.k.a. shrimp cocktail.
Ceviche.
See, pretty much.
He knows but, what that means.
Thank you.
Yeah, so what I want to do is because I've been wanting to try it for so long, and we finally had the opportunity to try out Abuela's Tacos, okay. And it's on the east side. What up, east side?
Hey.
So, yeah. Here's the reason why I love this place so much.
Tell me mm-hmm. about it.
Hot Cheetos tortillas for your
Ooh,
tacos.
But does it see?
Not just flour. So this is a spot where not only do they ask flour or corn,
mm-hmm.
flour, corn, or hot Cheetos tortillas.
How do they do? Is it like hot Cheetos sprinkled on top?
Yeah, they're like crumbled the and it's made into the, into the tortilla. Whoa.
Okay, so if this blows up, mm-hmm. do you think Doritos is going to be pissed?
Well.
Like, what about us?
Yeah. Well, you know, just the cheetahs, man. Oh, Doritos.
Oh, they my goodness.
Taco shop.
I know.
We got the hot Doritos.
Yeah.
Yeah, the spicy Doritos tortillas. That's where we edit.
That's very aggressive.
That's where we edit.
Have you guys heard of Bruno's Taco Bar?
Not yet.
No. Okay, so
I have now.
Bruno's Taco Bar, they actually make coffees, and you could pick the picture that you want. So they can make like a Drake coffee. They could put like Drake's face on your coffee.
Is that what I see on Instagram and
yes,
stuff?
So like if I wanted my logo on top of the latte?
Bruno's Taco Bar can do it. And they have heart-shaped tortillas for Valentine's Day.
Oh.
So I like that they're super about that Instagram.
By the way, can we tease everybody about next week's podcast episode with Valentine's around the corner?
Yes. We're going to talk about the best and worst gifts we've ever given and received.
Or not given.
Yes, and we'll also talk about what the hell will be going on in the city that weekend.
Yes, so
take
much.
Your Valentine's.
Yeah, we'll get some recommendations.
Really quick, this year I'm going on my 15th wedding anniversary.
Hey.
Congratulations!
Now, I know, it's crazy.
Yes.
But so I'm trying to incorporate this into Valentine's Day because
2014 or 2004.
Yeah, 2004 plus an extra 6 years behind that. Of dating.
Yeah, so y'all been together 20
Shout
years.
Shout out to Tanya.
Yeah,
man.
I know.
OG.
So, and the reason why I'm bringing it up is because talking about spots around town to go take your girl or girl. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, it's the year 2019 or girl, take your guy. Yeah. Whatever you want to do.
Whatever you got to do.
I still have a really good image about when I took the wifey over to the Eiffel Tower.
Mm-hmm.
That was dope.
Did you go on the elevator thing to the top?
Wherever the top restaurant is. And then you overlook the city. And then another spot was that it's an SLS. It's like a steakhouse. I forgot what it is. It's like whatever
Julia?
It is.
No.
You know, remember. So there's a couple cool spots. So we live in a town where we can make romance happen.
Yeah.
Like in just a finger snap.
Because people think of this town as just like singles wilding out.
Right.
Yeah. But no, romance can happen.
Yeah, definitely.
And next week will definitely give you like we're all married in this room right now. We'll give you a little insight. You know what? Maybe I wonder how the hell is a single person living right now? We can't relate.
No. No, we cannot.
I wonder how a single. We should interview a single person who's on Tinder.
Maybe
and see how they're living.
Maybe
we'll
bring one of our fellow single Q100.5 co team members.
I don't know.
Like a Philly Blunt.
Phil. Yeah, we gotta ask Phil. What's he doing for Valentine's Day?
I'm interested to see what Nudia got.
She probably got like you know a what few I mean.
But yeah, we'll keep you guys updated on what we got going on. I think that we'll also talk about some of our own personal romantic stories. I don't know about that.
Uh-huh.
Have you guys heard about my honeymoon?
I want to hear it right now.
No,
drop it.
No, I think I might have to save it for my honeymoon story.
Yes,
I think I might have to save it.
Okay,
put it this way. My honeymoon story can be a screenplay for Kevin Hart to make a comedy about. I promise you that. It is that crazy,
mm-hmm.
that bad. Put it this way. I'm going to tease it.
Uh-huh.
After I got married, I was very, 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 very close for my wife divorcing me before our honeymoon.
What? Wow.
It wasn't that crazy.
Oh, man. So this is like a hangover story, like the movie.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't do it. I just messed up the honeymoon situation so bad. So she was like, if you don't fix this, I'm doing this with or without you.
You know what's funny? I have a really bad proposal story. When Sean proposed to me, it was so
Save it for next week.
We almost died.
Save it for next week.
Hey, just by the way, just to top off on Boja's story, I want to hear this honeymoon story because the wedding was dope because I was his DJ.
Yes.
Oh. And it was a crazy-ass fun wedding.
It was like, okay, yes.
And you were asking us a question earlier before we started the show about sleeping with the baby in the bed. And what do you do? So me being a mom of three, an 8-year-old, 18, and 20-year-old, I got some really good advice for you. Explain what's going on.
Are we talking about this next week or right now?
We're going to talk about it next week, about letting your kids sleep in the bed
with you. Because I have a 2-year-old who sleeps in the bed between me and the wifey.
I got you. Don't worry. I got your advice.
You need wifey time. And so now I'll tease my story with my wife and I. Mm-hmm. It's a two-piece. And one of them is how I kind of did this origami thing and completely impressed her.
Okay.
And I'll talk about it and I'll show it on video.
You're going to do some paper magic?
Oh, yeah. Ooh, okay. Oh, yeah.
To see this.
And it involved 12 red napkins.
Okay,
so I'll leave it at that.
Say no more.
But the part that I do want to say is my first impression with her and her of mine was me going, God damn, you have a fat ass.
Damn.
True story. And then it went from there.
On that note, time to wrap things up. Thank you guys so much. Our very first episode of Out There with the Q Crew and the Bugs.
Woo!
We did good, you guys.
We're going to be back and better than ever. And next week is going to be very interesting. Hope you guys join us.
Absolutely. Every Friday, we're going to be dropping our new episode at Q100Vegas.com. So we'll talk to you next Friday.